Hey, and welcome to Tomorrow. I'm your host, Joshua Topolsky. Today on the podcast, we discuss Billy Idol, Kamala Harris, and Tron. I don't want to waste 1 minute. Let's get right into it. Well, Ryan, it's another week.
It is a week.
It's a week. We're back. Things have happened. Trump is mad about this anonymous letter. Letter was written. Kavanaugh is about to be confirmed, I think. I don't know. I don't want to talk about Kavanaugh because it's going to depress me too much.
Well, we do have to talk about Cory Booker. Let's touch on Cory Booker's badass scene.
Hold on. Before we talk about Cory Booker, I want to talk about Kamala Harris, who really, really gave this fucking Kavanaugh motherfucker the business.
Yeah.
During their back and forth. I mean, I have to say, she asked him about whether or not he's met with any of Trump's lawyers to discuss Mueller. And Kavanaugh, like, literally, you could see, like, steam coming out of his collar or whatever. I mean, he was like, his answers were so insane and bad and, like, made me so worried about the type of person who, I mean, I was already worried.
I kept saying he looked like Mo on The Simpsons whenever he's under any pressure. He's like, I don't know.
He was being, like, literally looked like he was being cooked. Go, I guess, she's like, did you meet with anybody from his, counsel? And
he was like, what's a counsel?
He's like, when you say meet to...
I've seen The Good Wife.
I mean, I've met people. I mean, sometimes...
Phoenix Ace Attorney.
Yeah. It's like I don't know. You know, there's a meeting and then there's a meeting, right?
You're a literal judge to be on the Supreme Court and you don't know who you spoke to at a law firm about the most important legal issue in the country.
At one point, he's like, Kazowitz, Meyer, whatever the fucking thing is. It's like he's like recalling. He's like,
literally the president's...
That sounds familiar. Perhaps I've heard of it. It's like, dude, like, my 4-year-old has heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay? You've definitely heard of it. He's like, I can't say for sure. Anyhow, so America's in crisis.
Still.
You know, people are going crazy. I think this is a moment where never have so many people been so wrong about so many things.
I think we're the entire country, both sides of the aisle, everybody, us, me, you, we're that spinning rainbow wheel that pops up on a Mac when it's going to die.
The beach ball.
Yeah, it's called
the beach ball.
We're the beach ball.
I mean, it's just an epic time in life when there are so many people who are so deranged on their views, so confused about what is actually going on in the world, so misguided and ill-informed. It's an epic time. And I think, like, honestly, it's like I wrote about, you know, I've written about the internet and its and what's happening in social media and the way that those platforms are being manipulated. There is, like, this incredible amount of, like, groupthink and mobthink and just sort of, like, scarily, like, information light mentality that creates these kind of movements and these waves of just misinformation, I would say. And I think
we're in the golden age of people who don't know what they're talking about authoritatively talking about issues that they don't know about with limited information from a place of passion. And that's on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
And it is,
I mean, it makes
infuriating.
Sense. Yeah, I mean, watching how, you know, events are covered, you really kind of see now how Trump's attacks on the media have been effective because it's like there's such a thirst. Mm-hmm. Such a blind thirst. I mean, this is one of the reasons the outline exists is like to not play into the blind thirst of like what's happening. How do we talk about it? How do we get on it? How do we glom on it? How do we get SEO on it? And, you know, just watching the way these things have been covered, the way people are talking about it, the way it's so forgettable, so instantly forgettable.
And it's wild that the people who are the biggest, and we should talk about the Twitter story today in a moment, but the people who are the biggest Mastodon supporters, which, like, I made an account, I'm pumping my tweets in, I think it's ethical, I wish that it takes off, I don't believe that
but
it will.
Mastodon, the problem is it's, like, all separate instances, right?
It's like it's like email, like that. But the people who are the biggest supporters of that, the biggest critics of Twitter, the biggest critics of BuzzFeed, the biggest critics of, like, the obsessive, like, clickbait culture, the people who can see that that is happening and think it's bad also will make hot takes with no information for the most, like, likes and retweets. Yeah. It's the same crowd.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating because it's like...
Listen, you know, it's hard to see out of the windows of a glass house.
True.
I don't even know what that means because the whole house
is
glass.
The whole house doesn't have the good Windex, which is the vinegar kind.
Oh, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah, the vinegar Windex.
Vinegar Windex?
It works better, and it's healthier, and it's more expensive.
Of course it is.
But that's the same thing with the media.
You got to pay for the finer things. You got to pay for the finer things in life. At any rate, so it's been a crazy week of news. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. The New York Times published this like anonymous letter from somebody who's like a senior White House official. It's like
Lodestar.
It's Pence. I think it's supposed to be Pence as the current theory.
I think also that
Pence
they
uses
picked,
the word Lodestar a
but
lot.
But also, someone could have picked that word specifically because
who do you think it is?
What is the net staff of the White House?
I don't
minus
know.
One, it's like six. Maybe two for Ivanka. The rest are possibilities. It could be Jared. Like, I genuinely think it could be anybody.
Jared sounds interesting.
It could be Jared. It could. Mm-hmm. I do actually think it could maybe be Pence, but that's not a theory I want to entertain.
Well, the person sucks. I mean, they're all. They
I mean,
all
it could
suck.
Be fucking Jeff Sessions.
Ugh.
As awful as that is, it could be Jeff Sessions.
Could be Jeff Sessions, but he's not really in the. I mean, he's in the DOJ. I mean.
I yes, but I just mean
he's not
like
a White House official.
But I just mean like name a name, and the plausibility is there because nobody is as fucking crazy as him, except maybe Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Do you think Melania wrote it?
Melania responded to it. Did you see that?
I don't know. She was like,
actions have consequences, and the person who this is will be found out, or whatever. Like
wow,
Eastern
that's
European
a wild German accent.
I'm not Laura Benanti, and I'm a scared gay Jew.
Well, okay. That makes all of us. That's what makes two of us. Anyhow, what else? What else happened?
Twitter banned Alex Jones.
Oh, Twitter banned Alex Jones.
That's when I started drinking today.
So, like, I don't know. Listen, first off, Jack. I don't know what's going on with Jack's personal style. We need to talk. We need to have an stage of intervention. You need to get Queer Eye on that motherfucker.
Well, like, don't bring that up. It's we have to talk about Azealia Banks.
What are they? What? Huh?
Azealia Banks did a very problematic thing with Jack Dorsey, who's not married and doesn't have kids.
What did she do?
She accused him of being secretly gay and covering that up and trying to hide that from his investors or whatever. And like,
she must have heard that from Elon.
I don't know that that's true. Like, it's a really easy accusation to make. It's homophobic to do. It's homophobic to out somebody.
Are people still secretly gay?
All that stuff. But like, you know how we say bad for the Jews? Jack Dorsey would be bad for the gays. So yeah. If you're in the closet, stay like, right stay, in. Stay. Mr. Jackie Jack.
Are people really still secretly gay? Jack Dorsey, you're in San Francisco. You're
literally made of money.
You're a powerful man. I would be so not secretly gay.
You could literally use that as cover for why you didn't ban Alex Jones before.
I think it's like Azealia Banks. Right, exactly. He's like, I was just trying to, you know.
But guys, like I had like conversation as a queer person. He could have so used that. Azealia Banks, I think, was just being bored because she missed the attention the Elon Musk
board at work. She's the board at work network. No, she
is Azealia Banks at New York Times Fridge.
She's the Fridge actually. People don't know that she her and the Fridge have a lot in common.
She wrote the op-ed.
God, that's such an obscure reference now. The Fridge, that's from like the internet of yesteryear.
I miss the age of Gawker creating insane memes that didn't make any sense and were problematic and nonsense, but then. It was a great way to have a secret language.
The Fridge was very rude about Leah Finnegan, one of our esteemed
really?
Editors. Oh, yeah. The Fridge was like really awful and nasty to Leah Finnegan. Fuck the Fridge.
Wow. Fuck the Fridge.
Fuck the Fridge to hell. Okay, but here's the thing.
Fuck that Fridge.
The Jack Dorsey thing, first off, don't care what he's into. Not an issue for me. The only issue for me is that this Alex Jones shit is nonsense.
No, it's
Jack
too
rolls
too
in
late.
There with that beard, that fucking Anton LaVey looking fucking beard.
Anton LaVey.
Yeah, like what are you about to do a séance? You about to do some black sex magic here? Like what's happening?
Gonna raise the tweets?
Like yeah, like what's happening?
All the deleted tweets will raise from the dead.
It's on the inside of his jacket. It's like covered in runes. Anyhow, but was he even wearing a jacket? I don't know. I like Jack insofar as he's like a character that exists.
Same with Anton LaVey.
Not part of reality.
Yeah.
Jack's like a fun, like a weird, interesting punching bag. I mean, I think like.
Yeah, fire at Jack.
Yeah, like, like at Jack as a great avatar for all of the, to funnel all of our rage.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, just it's like weird to see him. Like, obviously, this was very planned.
Oh, well, this all happened after the story came out that he personally stopped the entire staff from banning
Alex
Jones.
Yeah, I mean, that shit's fucked up as hell.
Fucking
I mean,
why? And he was like, oh, well, I better ban him. Crush that story.
If I was a board member, I would definitely be like,
If I was an intern, I would definitely be like, Mr. Dorsey, we have a literal Nazi in the building.
Yeah, I just feel like you just like just have to go. We talked about this with Taylor Lorenz, but it's like you just have to look at it and go, hey, I don't even care about freedom of speech in this situation.
No.
This is my private, personal platform. This guy's fucking attacking parents of dead kids.
But even if you care about freedom of speech, you don't yell fire in a crowded theater. That is against the Constitution. And to go on Twitter and encourage pizza gators to take guns to a pizza place is a... You cross the line. That's not freedom of speech. You don't have the freedom to use your voice for violence.
The libs are coming for you, motherfucker.
Voicelands.
The liberal elite. Media, the liberal Jewish media is gunning for you, Mike Cernovich.
Happy New Year.
And your raping ass is about to get knocked off the platform. Okay, I don't think he raped anybody. I think it's an alleged rape. Alleged. We tend to forget. I think it was like a rape charge that got knocked down to assault. So we tend to forget, like, just think of any person in your life who you'd be comfortable with that had that happen. You're like, well, he
literally
didn't
rape
me. He didn't rape me, but he did sexually assault me or whatever. Like, it's like, okay, let's make him a journalist. Like when BuzzFeed is like, we're using Cernovich as a source. It's like,
we need to do with these people what we did with Michelle Malkin, which is nobody knows who that is anymore.
Who's Michelle Malkin?
Exactly.
Nice.
Tight.
Anyhow, I was looking up, the other day, this is so off topic, but when I used to go to raves, I bought this shirt at a thrift store in Pittsburgh called Red, White, and Blue, which is the best thrift stores in the world. And by the way, kids, if you're out there buying like fast fashion from H&M and you're not raiding thrift stores in your local area, you are getting played.
Yeah.
But
anybody who's at ASOS and not like hitting up.
Yeah, you need to go to your local Goodwill and start diving. But anyhow, I got this shirt and it said, I was reminded of it because we were watching the Howard Stern movie, Private Parts. Like, for whatever reason, I was like, oh my God, I forgot
this
existed.
I saw that as a child.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to watch. But anyhow, he was at DC 101, the radio station. And I was like, oh yeah, I used to have this shirt, this DC 101 shirt. It had like a guy's name on it, a disc jockey's name was, I think it was the Grease Man. And on the shirt, there was his catchphrase, and this is why I bought it.
Total grease ball.
It was like, the grease man, ooh, that's nice. It was like, in quotes, ooh, that's nice was his. Okay, so I was like, I never thought about it. I like threw it out. I mean, who knows?
Ooh, that's nice.
Ooh, that's nice.
You should take that.
I'm thinking about it. So I've never thought about it, like, for 20 years.
The outline, it's not for everybody. Ooh, that's nice.
Ooh, that's, ooh, you know, it's, ooh, oh, maybe it is that. Ooh, that's nice. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so I was like, man, who the fuck was the Grease Man? I was like, let me find a picture of this shirt. So I started researching the Grease Man.
Oh,
the Grease Man is a total fucking racist who like said the most heinous shit that I've ever heard. Like the most, and I remembered, I was like, oh yeah, I heard about this thing about this disc jockey in DC said this crazy racist shit on the air and got fired. But I never knew. I was like, reading his Wikipedia. I'm like, oh my God, this person was a complete piece of shit. Anyhow, then I went looking for the shirt again. Because then I was like, wait, did I imagine this shirt existed? Like, it's so specific, but I couldn't really find like, ooh, that's nice. It's like, it's not a Google.
We gotta stop saying it now that we know that it's like a dog whistle race term.
Laura keeps going like at random moments, like, you know, we'll finish making love. And she's like, ooh, that's nice. I'm like, please don't do that. You've ruined everything. No, but
we say naked wasted a lot, which was a thing on The Real Housewives where the housewives fed a woman drinks to try to get her to be nude and sexual at a party in front of people that would embarrass her, which is horrible.
Wow.
Sexual assault.
That's really rude.
But in 2009, it didn't feel like that.
It was.
Anyhow, we still say naked wasted.
Moral of the story is memories are wild and don't listen to the Grease Man.
Everything's been bad forever.
Yeah, anyhow. So what else in the news? Anything else that we should talk about?
I mean, on the same similar topic, there was those hearings from Twitter, Facebook, and Google didn't show up about social media.
Google's mad.
Google,
they should be mad.
Google literally looked them in the face and said, between us and Amazon, we are the shadow government. We will make decisions on speech.
They're like, we'll tell you. No, but Google, the idea that Google is like skewing its results to like make concern.
It's absurd.
Like, please, if anything, they need to skew them more.
Listen, Twitter's a terrible place, but the shadow banning thing is utter complete fucking nonsense that doesn't make any sense. Nobody liked your tweets. Sorry you don't come up in search.
Trump doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He doesn't know. I mean, he doesn't use a fucking computer first. He doesn't know how anything works.
He doesn't know about what's happening in Hezbollah. They had to do, they basically, what came out in the Bob Woodward book was that they did a Reader's Digest version of what was happening in Hezbollah, and he didn't read it. He threw it out. So they did basically like a child's version. one, like very easy. Like, these are the baddies and these are the goodies. And if we give them guns, it will only cause more violence, like a complete breakdown. And he never read it.
Hey,
and like,
it turns out,
how could you expect him to know how to fucking code?
I don't know. Every few weeks I do a tweet.
He thinks Algorithm is a man he met in the 80s.
It's good. Is that from your bit? Is that a bit you're just came to me workshop? Now. It's very good. You have a very agile mind.
You too can take improv classes and hate yourself.
Wow. That sounds like a good way to pass the time. No, I mean, Trump is very dumb. I think we have to understand that.
He's a simple man.
He's a simple man who just wants one thing.
Nothing wrong with being simple, but maybe don't make it president.
For all black people to go away. Is that too much for Trump to ask of the world?
According to Nike, it is. So we're not wearing Nikes anymore in this country.
The Nike thing. I forgot.
We're not going to boycott the Catholic Church for raping our kids. But those shoes, they employed a black man.
I
want to die.
On Labor Day, I know the world's so bad. On Labor Day, I was like, I had to get on a call and somebody was like, yeah, well, you know, have you seen this Nike thing? And I was like, what Nike thing? And then I was like, you're burning your Nike shoes because you don't like their ad?
Like, guess you don't want to own those shoes you're already
it's like, what an interesting thing to do to
I bought all this food.
To be like, I love these Nikes. They're so cool. I love wearing them. They're comfortable. They're good for me. And then you're like, oh, you did an ad I don't like. Let me take my money and flush it down the toilet. And also now I have to get new shoes. Like, you're cutting your shorts, cutting the logo off your shorts. You mean you're making your shorts unwearable? Like,
again, still attending the Catholic Church.
Why not just give it away?
I had New Balance shoes. I owned a lot of New Balance shoes because I got a real wide set hobbit foot for any of the fetishists in the audience.
Okay.
And
vivid.
It's vivid. It's an actual issue when I buy shoes. I have to put them on and walk around the store for 10 minutes to decide if they're like hurt.
Sounds annoying.
But New Balance shoes are great. And I
like New Balance. Too bad about their Nazi stuff.
$25 million to the Trump campaign and like Joe Arpaio and like whatever, wherever else. And I was like, all right, I kept wearing the shoes because it's my one option. I didn't throw them out, but I also didn't buy those shoes again. That's how you boycott. You don't fucking throw out your own socks and shoes. What are you doing?
It's performative.
Idiots?
They're just trying to show the world how mad
they are.
I'll
give money to a Puma, famously conservative brand.
I'd love to see how this New Balance stuff has actually, how it impacted their sales. It'd be interesting. I don't know if anybody's written on that or not, but
Chick-fil-A is still opening new locations in New York.
Chick-fil-A is like, we don't want to serve gay people or whatever they do. Something
and
like
everyone's
that,
like,
right?
But you got good dipping sauces and boycotts don't work.
No, literally, there are lines of fucking hipsters in New York that are like,
okay.
Chicken's good.
I donate like, to the more, ACLU, like, so.
So they eat more chicken.
Yeah.
You know that billboard? Oh, we've talked about this before, haven't we?
What?
This the billboard.
I don't think we have.
It's like, let me get
it's
this
all blurring
straight.
Together.
First off, the cows are smart enough that they can write. Not
we
well.
We did talk about this.
Not well. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to revisit it.
Do it. This is your bit.
They can't write well, but they have a grasp of English. I mean, it's like, you know, better than my 4.5-year-old at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
like better than the president.
She can't write, eat more chicken. And they're like, wow, like, we're going to be killed and eaten.
We got to stop this.
We got to get the humans to divert their attention towards chicken. I mean, also, they got up on the billboard. That's one thing that I think is impressive because cows really can't climb as far as I know. But I'm sorry, but the whole thing is like, if I think this cow is sentient and aware and able to write,
better chop up chickens.
My logical next step is like, well, but what do the chickens feel about this situation? It's just kind of fucking bizarre.
Like, that's the pescatarian thing where, like, I support anybody who's trying to get off of meat because it is the ethical and healthy and environmentally friendly choice and, like, also will save you money. I'm also don't care if you eat meat. It's not my business. But if you want to get off of it, sure, I'll help you out. The pescatarian thing is real weird because you're going to pay more money for mercury-laden.
It's not all mercury-laden.
Pretty mercury-laden food that, like, also is an animal. You just, like, don't see it.
Well,
also in our overfished seas.
Yes, that's all
am
true.
Am I talking to a pescatarian right now?
I've eaten some fish recently.
Yeah, but you've
true.
Also eaten some meat recently.
No comment on that, but let's just say it's possible.
Melt Shop.
Every once in a while. No, I had all vegetarian food from Melt Shop.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I do slip up, and I feel bad. And I realize I, like, have been trained and became addicted to meat, and, like, I see it and have this kind of outsized desire for it, and it's really it's haunting.
The only time I crave meat, and I've said this on the podcast before, is when I'm in a bodega and they're cooking bacon. And something about the smell of, like, that human flesh adjacent thing makes my, like, satanic heart bubble over.
I'll be honest with you.
Desperation.
If I go to L.A.
Also, I'm Jewish.
If I go to L.A. and I go to Cantor's, I have, on occasion, eaten a Reuben and felt really bad about it.
But also, I've eaten a Reuben, too, but a different kind.
I love Cantor's.
All right. Okay. We should probably move on.
Yeah, let's take a break.
We got a segment coming up.
We have a segment. We're not doing a guest today. We're going to talk about my favorite current topic, which is the game Cyberpunk 2077.
Which isn't out yet.
Which is not out for several years.
And Josh hasn't played.
No, but I watched 48 minutes of...
We spent 2 hours talking about it in your office alone.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay, so we're gonna take a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some nerdy-ass shit, which is Cyberpunk-related things. And Cyberpunk, the game, and also just like being a cyberpunk. So don't go anywhere.
What happens if you play Monopoly with real money?
You've got to pay the piper.
Okay, let's pay the piper.
There are no free lunches in this completely reinvented game of Monopoly.
What does space sound like? What happens when you overwork yourself?
Do you believe that work-related stress has increased?
It reflects the fact of how little value we place on the well-being of human beings.
The Outline World Dispatch.
Every Monday through Thursday, we bring you a new story on the theme of power, culture, or the future. Handpicked from theoutline.com. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, your Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, or wherever you download your podcasts. Also, you can say, okay, Google, play me the news, and we're right there.
Oh my God, yeah!
Make your mornings a little weirder.
All right, we're back.
Hi.
And it's time.
Hi, punks.
Time to talk about Cyberpunk. So, okay. So for those of you who don't know, and I don't know who's listening to this who doesn't know, Cyberpunk 2077 is a game by CD Projekt Red, which is a expansive, appears to be open world game set in
Starring the Svedka robot.
Set in a place called Night City, based on the role-playing game Cyberpunk. And just looks like a crazy, like, live in a cyberpunk nightmare slash dream world.
Very ambitious.
Super ambitious, super huge, super detailed. Already, you know, some controversy around it.
People don't want to play first person.
Yeah,
after
first person, which I don't understand.
30 years of first person. We've changed our mind.
I don't get it. Well, I know people, like, think you could, like...
I hate Doom.
I don't know. GTA is not first person, right? It's like over
it's
the shoulder
person,
or whatever.
Yeah,
I think people want that. But
third-person gaming is gay culture. But no offense to first-person gaming. It's good.
I like first-person gaming because it's like I want to be in the game. I want to be in the environment. I want to be there.
Yeah. I don't mind it. So I would rather it be a VR game.
So I thought it'd be fun to talk about works of cyberpunk that are like things that I've been thinking a lot about. Looking at and thinking about playing Cyberpunk 2077, which doesn't come out until potentially 2077, and they haven't announced, but they talk about it like in the terms of years. I mean,
it's going to come out in 2077. I have, before we get into this, because I don't want to be added, I have a definition of Cyberpunk.
Hopes to launch in 2019 at the earliest.
That I would like to read so that we can parse what is and isn't Cyberpunk.
Here we go. Let me hear it.
Cyberpunk is a genre. P.S. A genre is a set of expectations that an audience brings to a work of art. And this genre is of dystopian science fiction based on the rise of technology such as AI, robotics, generalized use of human implants and bionics, juxtaposed with a rise in criminality, social inequality, and the collapse of traditional governments for the benefit of mega corporations. Yeah. I also would like to note it's sort of like Michael Crichton's ultimate Jurassic Park thesis about progress not being good or bad. That, like, progress is just like a power trade-off we keep making that promises simplicity but, like, only makes your life further complicated. Yeah. That is what cyberpunk is. Anything that fits within that about the future, great. Everything else, not cyberpunk. I don't care if Miley Cyrus put dreads in and met a robot. That's not cyberpunk.
I don't know. That sounds pretty cyberpunk to
me. It's not cyberpunk.
Steampunk actually developed out of cyberpunk.
It was Bush era cool.
Well, I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I want to talk about cyberpunk. I think when you think of it, and I think everybody knows this, but when, you know, the things that are most closely associated with sort of like the sort of ultimate, you know, cyberpunk work, like Neuromancer by William Gibson is one. I think the original Blade Runner film is considered, I mean, that is a that is a cyberpunk kind of universe in many ways, you know. You know, I would say there's a handful of the whole Sprawl trilogy is which is, you know, which is Neuromancer, Count Zero, and Mona Lisa Overdrive. All of that stuff is considered very much like the sort of perfect articulation of what cyberpunk is. It is very much like many, many things about the world we live in increasingly are like the things envisioned by some of the greatest cyberpunk authors and thinkers. You know, I think that the way that corporations have become so prevalent in our lives, the way that they control...
Are the government. We were just joking about Google, but literally that is the case.
The way they control, you know, the fact that healthcare, we can't have socialized healthcare in America because the healthcare is really controlled by these insurance companies. And they really have enormous say in the political process, you know. I mean, Facebook is a great example of a kind of dystopian...
I know this sounds insane, but like gift cards to me were the first thing where I was like, we are living in a bad time.
Why?
When I was a kid.
Tell me why.
Because you could just give somebody cash, but it was a corporation tricking you into doing an in-house currency that didn't have any benefit.
That's very true. As it could expire. It could expire.
It can expire. They could decide that it doesn't. It's not worth what it did. The card could not work. There's multiple points of failure, but also it was as an act. It was to replace an act of actual human kindness, which is to buy a gift that you took the time to actually care about,
right,
with a fake act, which is to say, I know you need something from Home Depot, so here's $50 to Home Depot instead of $50 to respect you as a human to know how to spend for yourself. If you want to give a thoughtless gift, give a thoughtless gift. I'd rather you be honest.
I mean, I think that's very...
Like, iTunes is very cyberpunk.
I mean, maybe...
An iTunes gift card for Christmas to a child is the most cyberpunk garbage I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you mean because it's like a physical representation of money that you could spend in iTunes that you have to like...
Or you could spend in any for any actual gift that a child could use. Then they end up engaging with a screen in a walled garden of content that has been chosen for them and decided was acceptable for their brains.
Wow.
We are getting closer and closer to it being reality. But yeah, like everything that incorporates, like obviously we were talking about Billy Idol the other day.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a whole like, you know, there's a, you know, like the Lawnmower Man. It's like there's a genre of like science fiction, like Wild Palms, which is a show that I've talked about many times, and I might actually be writing.
But those
about.
Some of these are just visual tropes.
Yeah, but Wild Palms is a very cyberpunk show. I mean, Wild Palms is a cyberpunk miniseries that the likes of which has never existed before or since, in my opinion. But you know, there's like you get into these. There's always like so. Billy Idol had a record in 1993 called Cyberpunk, which was, you know, hilarious. I mean, it was all like. Very like digital, like he did a live performance on Jay Leno where they had like live video toasters.
It was at the same time cool as shit and also like, what are we doing?
No, it's
it's very 90s.
You gotta look at the performance. Maybe we'll embed a video of the performance.
Yeah, I'll throw it on the post
in this post. But it's like it takes a lot of the cyberpunk ideas into this very comical realm. Mm-hmm. You know, but the actual kind of the cyberpunk ballast is really. Is quite serious and quite dark and has shades of what is happening now in the world.
I mean, it's the Matrix, which literally ended up leading to a bunch of political consequences.
You know, I think the world of Ready Player One that certainly is in the book, but in the movie.
The idea is cyberpunk. Totally, the actual book is Harry Potter for people who can't write or read.
Whoa.
I hate that book.
You burnt.
But like, but even Ex Machina is a perfect example, I think, of maybe it's a little bit slightly post cyberpunk, but it's definitely, or like Ghost in the Shell, those ideas are really core, and we've actualized them into the real world, which is of course part of science fiction. But cyberpunk is about the cynical version, and the cynical version is also like the closest to Occam's Razor.
Yeah, wow, you really went there. You went all over there. So I was thinking.
Isn't it true though?
I was thinking of some things that I think are pretty cyberpunk.
I made a list of things that people call cyberpunk, and you can tell me which are.
Let me hear your list, and then
I mean, it's a massive list.
We already touched on some of them, but I want to talk about like things that I've been thinking about re-engaging with to some degree or engaging with again or for the first time maybe because I'm so excited about this game and I can't stop thinking about it and I just want more cyberpunk related stuff in my life. Give me your list. Let me hear your
list. One of the earliest things I've seen is A Clockwork Orange.
I mean, I don't think I would classically define that as cyberpunk. I think that's more like... I mean, I could see it. I'll allow it for now.
Yeah.
I'd see some of it there.
I would allow it, but I get that it was before this movement sort
of formed.
Well,
it definitely was, but there's proto-cyberpunk stuff. I mean, like, a lot of Philip K. Dick's writing, like, obviously, Duran Dread's Dream of Electric Sheep, which is the basis for Blade Runner, but even books like Ubik, which, to me, is a very cyberpunk-y kind of book.
Electric Dreams is a series on Amazon that was sort of, obviously, a ripoff of the Black Mirror phenomenon.
Very much.
But the Electric Dreams series itself is much more cyberpunk than actual Black Mirror is, which I know you don't like, but if you've watched Electric Dreams, it might be something you... find more
palatable. I have watched a couple of episodes of it. It's fine. It's a little, I don't know, it's a little Canadian for my taste. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the real test.
You're like, this is from Canada.
Here's a real test of what cyberpunk is or isn't. Early Lady Gaga, which was reflective of themes of technology and pop culture and
fame. I will say, what's the video where she's like in, there's a Beats pill and she's like in a coffin?
Bad Romance.
Yeah. Kind of cyberpunky.
Yeah, that's pretty cyberpunky.
I mean, it's also kind
of a lot of the live performances incorporated all this emerging technology, like glasses that could display text instead of like what instead of seeing things, you would see things through the glasses of someone else, which was an interesting idea. There's a lot of stuff in there that was like obviously pulled from many sources, like Bowie or like Grace Jones, but it's interesting.
I don't know that I've ever considered or thought about her as being cyberpunk.
Their first art pop. Art pictures, which are kind of notorious because she scrapped the idea and moved on, was extremely cyberpunk. Let me pull those up for you.
Yeah, please do. I want to see them.
And she pulled back on the idea and moved towards sort of more of a concept album. But she was about to do a super cyberpunk thing that I would have been really excited about. And if you Google it, you can see what Josh is seeing right now, which is her... it's sort of Matrix inspired.
Yeah, I mean she's post cyberpunk. It's just she's adopting some of the aesthetic. I mean,
that's true.
I'm cool with that. You know, it's fine. It's great.
I mean, other post cyberpunk things have pop music is basically only post cyberpunk outside in like mainstream pop. Like Oops, I Did It Again or Break Free by Ariana Grande are like heavily, they're basically the same video. They're heavily sci-fi influenced. Ready for It by Taylor Swift, we were talking about earlier. But they're all sci-fi influenced, but they're not necessarily like cyberpunk, but they're adopting the visual tropes.
The Taylor Swift stuff is truly epically bad, so I don't recommend seeing it. But I think there is a lot of, you know, there is a kind of...
Is Minority Report?
Minority Report has a cyberpunk vibe. I think you could put it in the, you could put it in there.
What about, okay, so did you play Detroit Become Human?
I just played it. No, I haven't played it. That's very cyberpunky.
It's very cyberpunky, and I can heavily recommend it. The writer doesn't know how to write for women, but outside of that glaring issue, it's great.
All writers. Deus Ex Human Revolution, which is the first first fully realized Deus Ex game, maybe the first one.
That worked.
Very cyberpunk.
Yes.
I've played the sequel a little bit. But it's not as good, in my opinion. I don't know. It's hard to get into.
I feel like a lot of games that peak somewhere within the middle of the series peak somewhere within the middle of the series. Do you know what I mean?
How many Deus Ex games have been made? I don't actually know. I know that one because I played it all the way through.
There's at least three because I've played at least three.
Deus Ex. Let me see. Oh, here it is. I like how it goes to this. Series overview. Wow, they have made a lot of them.
Hold on. Really? I've only played three.
So Deus Ex, which I played when it came out. I remember this.
I remember
this
playing
game.
It and putting it down.
Deus Ex Invisible War, Human Revolution, The Fall, Deus Ex Go, and Mankind Divided.
I did Mankind Divided, Human Revolution, and the first one. So
Human Revolution is the first really good one. Oh, yeah, I totally owned this game.
Is
Holy
Bioshock
shit. This is like blowing
cyberpunk?
My mind. No, Bioshock is actually really is very steampunk.
Fuck steampunk. And now I have to say fuck Bioshock.
No, Bioshock's good. It's like aquapunk. I don't know.
Aquapunk. I would rather do C-Punk.
C-Punk.
Talk about Azealia Banks again.
Yeah, C-Punk is a whole other thing.
I love C-Punk.
No, I mean, Bioshock certainly has. I would say it's much more. I mean, I would say Bioshock is almost kind of firmly in the steampunk kind of. I mean, it is.
You're right. You're right. I just am mad at myself for being tricked.
The fucking big guys are like, they're not really. They're like.
It's like 1940s adorable technology.
Yeah, exactly. It's like H.G. Wells or no.
Kind of Fallout vibe.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, well, Fallout is not. I wouldn't say Fallout's like strictly steampunk. Definitely not cyberpunk.
No.
All right, what else on your list? This is exciting.
Retro City Rampage, which is one of your
picks. Well, that's a thing that I said that I feel like there's this quality to it that's really cyberpunky because it's such a weird.
And it's the aesthetics.
Same for the game Hotline Miami.
Yes.
Which is like, it's like the kind of thing that people in a cyberpunk universe would play. In a way.
Yeah.
Those are both like, they're just like bizarro, like very dynamic, bright, poppy, weird,
and
non-linear.
A very clear riff on another era, which is the thing that's recently evolved. A clear riff on influence specifically from this era and like modern day. Without taking in like 90s, 2000s crap, it's very like 80s cyberpunk meets today's ideas about like gameplay, which is a fun thing to do.
Well, there's also a lot of.
Dead Cells.
Yeah. Oh my God. Don't get me
we
started.
Can't, I know.
Dead
okay.
Cells. Not.
We're
going to
talk about it later.
Not cyberpunk. But I think that. I think there's a lot of in. I mean, Ready Player One, which I would not consider to be an actual cyberpunk book.
I hate it.
But there is in many of these, in many of the famous cyberpunk sort of works, there is a lot of like. You know, there's a noirish aspect to it.
I mean, that's really being pulled from the Blade Runner being a film noir sci-fi slash up that created
The heroes of cyberpunk are often an anti-hero, very much like the
absolutely.
The Philip Marlowe's.
But I think that they created a post-apocalyptic genre, which is not cyberpunk, but which came out of cyberpunk. Don't you think that's like a set? Like Hunger Games is not cyberpunk, but
no,
it's definitely
correct. Yes.
Post-apocalyptic.
Agree, but post-apocalyptic and cyberpunk are not necessarily joined at the hip.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that. Yeah, I mean, cyberpunk is really about that kind of like technological advancement that kind of outpaces.
It's an adventure that exists in the physical world mixed with a bunch of digital.
Well, it's also just like about politics and society and the kind of structures in which we live, both literally and figuratively. But figuratively, it's so much about the way we are or are not human, the way we see ourselves in the kind of fabric of humanity, how corporations play a part of that in a way that is much more
Tie between technology and corporations and being so like ugly, and when technology keeps advancing, so will corporations.
Yeah, and then also the advancement of science for both great and nefarious means. I mean,
what is progress?
Yeah, exactly. I think the Diamond Age. Which actually is a lot of steampunk. I mean, the thing about steampunk is that the two most, I feel like, seminal steampunk books are The Diamond Age by Neal Stephenson and the William Gibson. I want to say it's William Gibson and Neal Stephenson, though I could be wrong. Oh, no, it's William Gibson and Bruce Sterling. Sorry, did a book called The Difference Engine, which is steampunk. It's like steampunk it's basically like Victorian London. If computers had advanced in a really different way, in a faster way, and there were actually like real computing systems and computing power, and there are all these like crazy like flying vehicles and stuff, and it's
like
just
if Ada Lovelace had been allowed to just like run roughshod on her
She's in The Difference Engine, and it's about like Babbage and like Charles Babbage, and it's a crazy book. It's like written by true nerds, but it kind of imagines.
Well, that's a cyberpunk thing. It needs to be written by true nerds. It can't just be the Spice Up Your Life video by the Spice Girls, which takes a bunch of visual, very clear visual rips from cyberpunk works. But essentially, the thesis statement is like, we love being pop stars. We can't wait to make a movie.
Yeah, I think that there's like there are works that are very influenced by.
I mean, Scream by Michael and Janet Jackson, another example that's a music video. Hmm. I actually do think they understood the themes that they were dealing with.
Maybe. I don't think that's cyberpunk.
You don't think that's cyberpunk?
I'll bet that Michael Jackson was into some of that stuff, but
I think that is absolutely cyberpunk.
I don't know. I think the aesthetic.
You
maybe.
Also didn't think Janelle Monáe was cyberpunk, but
I think that's a stretch.
Totally is.
I think it's a stretch.
The Arc Android stuff?
I just don't think it's like. I think you need
her
the
appearance in Electric Dreams was the apotheosis of that.
I think you need the whole world.
Okay, it doesn't necessarily build out a world. I think you need to be in a city, like an urban environment.
I mean, or at least like okay, I'm not
to see how society works.
Yeah, and I think that the great
so Tron isn't cyberpunk.
No.
That was on a lot of cyberpunk websites.
I would not consider Tron to be a work of cyberpunk.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that Tron is a cool science fiction story.
Okay. What about Total Recall?
No.
Or Battlestar Galactica?
No.
I have a one that actually is, but that you still don't like.
What is it?
Altered Carbon.
Well, Altered Carbon is very cyberpunk.
Most of the episodes are bad. They're bad. They're poorly written. They're bad storytelling.
I had to check out
the last three episodes. They pull everything together, and you have a great story. Take fucking 13 episodes to get there.
Altered Carbon is 100%
cyberpunk.
Is
Gattaca?
Akira is. Ghost in the Shell.
The Fifth Element is.
Cowboy Bebop.
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer has a kind of cyberpunk quality to it, but I don't know that
it's post-cyberpunk.
I don't know that I would consider it a cyberpunk. It doesn't, remember, it's like, go ahead.
Daft Punk.
Daft Punk's first and second record.
Harder, Better, Faster.
That's
cyberpunk.
I don't think so.
The Kanye riffs are not.
Shadowrun Returns is a game.
Shadowrun
is very cyberpunk.
Absolutely.
But Shadowrun Returns is a game you can download and play, which is like very, it's a three-quarter like game. Like, it's not first person or over the shoulder.
Over the shoulder.
That's a very cyberpunky game. Very, very in the fucking deep fucking depths of cyberpunk. Wild Palms, which I talked about before, which I want to just revisit for a second. I think it's probably the most cyberpunk thing that's ever been on TV. William Gibson has a cameo in it. And it deals with like reality and body modifications and like, corporations controlling the government, and it's all that stuff, I think that's like
Jim Belushi was in
this? Oh my God.
Dana Delaney and Kim Cattrall.
Oh my God.
How have I
Robert
not?
Robert Loggia.
How this is literally a project perfectly built for this gay nerd.
Oh, dude.
Angie Dickinson?
Well, I have the DVDs of it. You can only get it on DVD.
Can I have your DVDs? Can I just rip them?
So I've been meaning
to bring them to the office.
I've been meaning to rip them because I'll
put them on Google Drive. I think I'm gonna give them to the listeners.
I think I'm gonna write about it at some point.
But can I just watch it?
Yes, you can. I'll bring them.
Oh my God, this looks incredible. I'm looking at the screenshots.
It's crazy.
This is like Twin Peaks, but sci-fi.
It's produced by Oliver Stone.
Okay.
It's directed by several of the episodes.
Wow.
One is directed by Catherine Bigelow. One is directed.
What?
Two were directed by Keith Gordon, who's an amazing director who did Mother Night and like a bunch of other really good shit. No. It's a crazy. It is prestige. It is prestige television before prestige television existed.
Yeah, like Twin Peaks
and
Buffy.
And it touches on like how technology is going to change politics, like how the media is used by politicians.
Wow.
Like it's like really, really smart and way ahead of its time. And it was a huge bomb. ABC was like,
time
we're doing
to remake.
This, like, we're doing this like, epic series. And like nobody watched it. It was about
time
virtual
to
reality.
Reboot.
It was about
the
drugs.
The screenshots are incredibly visually striking.
It's so good. It's very good. I'm telling you.
I mean, like. That
you're ruining it though.
I clearly have no idea what's going on. I'm also three drinks in, but this is incredible.
Wild Palms is the shit. I don't want it's kind of like kind of my secret weapon. But anyhow, so I'll bring my DVDs in. So I think it's interesting, but like all the stuff
DM me.
Thinking about Cyberpunk 2077 has obviously gotten me very excited about the potential for revisiting some of these things.
Well, Detroit Become Human was a thing where I was like, why is there not more of this?
But
like, there's crappy series like Humans on TV. This is the genre we need to jump into in the age of fucking Google Drive.
Is that game just like, is it all about just reacting?
Yes, which is this genre that is polarizing that I very much like, but I understand why people don't, because I don't play it like it's a game. I play it like it's a movie that I am watching and making choices in, which is a fun experience, but it's not a video game.
How good is the movie?
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Heavy Rain was an okay.
I loved Heavy Rain.
It was an okay B-list movie, very soapy. The Beyond Two Souls was a great Ellen Page performance in a thing that went on too long.
Yeah, I stopped playing in the middle of it.
Detroit Become Human, riveting prestige TV with a choose your own ending about Nazism and like the state of humanity. And I can't, again, David Cage cannot write women. I want to apply for a job there to, so that I can write the women for him. But it was very good.
No, that sounds really interesting. I wanted to play it. I just like, I don't know if I'm going to spend $60 on this game.
I'll give you my copy. I have it on DVD or on Blu-ray. I'll give it to you.
You mean...
I have like a PlayStation 4.
PlayStation,
yeah. I'll give it to you.
Okay, great. I'll give you Wild Palms and
perfect.
You can do that.
We'll make a perfect trade.
All right, anything else? I think, yeah.
I actually have two more that I actually want your opinion on.
Lay it on me.
Mr. Robot. It's an alternate now.
Yeah.
But a future now.
I think it's. I didn't watch the second season. I started watching the second season. I was like, I can't handle this. It's not good.
It gets better. But it is not as good as the first season.
First season was good. I think they went to places they could not come back from. They went to places that were so far out.
Also, as a storytelling device, when you say that you're every single character is an unreliable narrator and everything's a metaphor, so the plot doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You really back yourself out of ever doing a second season.
That first season was very good. I mean, it was very, very good, and I got to give him credit for it. I think that's firmly within the genre. I think it's very cyberpunky. I would say, what is the game? Extremely cyberpunky is, oh my God, what is the game where you're like a hacker? You're in, like, the second one, I think, is in Chicago.
Oh, John loves this game.
What the
he
fuck is
owns
it called?
All of
Why
them.
Why am I blanking on
hold
it?
On. I'm going to Google it up.
This is so annoying.
Hacker game.
Right now, there's people screaming.
I could literally look up the receipt.
People screaming at their
and John
radio.
Would, it would be in my thing because I literally bought it for him. Hacker game.
Oh, my God. What is it called? It's like, I'm blanking so
Watch
hard.
Dogs.
Watch Dogs.
Yes.
I'm blanking hard because it's got a terrible name. But Watch Dogs
such
is
a bad name.
Super cyberpunky. And I got the second one, which I really like. I played the first one. I couldn't quite get into it.
John loved both of them, and John's not a like cyberpunky themey person.
There's just so much going on in it. Mm-hmm. It's very overwhelming. You know, it's like GTA, but with like more rails in some way. It's very GTA-ish.
This is the last one, and this is going to really test you because we talk about this topic so much on this show. Batman Beyond, is that cyberpunk?
I think it's. I haven't seen enough of Batman Beyond to make a ruling here.
He's in like a future city and he's Batman and he has a whole bunch of sci-fi gadgets. And the old Batman is mentoring the new Batman who's encountering digitally created villains. And
well,
stuff.
There's a great, hold on. What
and
the
it's made by the animated series Batman people.
Okay,
so it is pretty good.
So there is a Batman.
Steampunk Batman.
No.
Sucks. All steampunk sucks. Take the gear off your top hat.
No, there is a Batman. Oh, here it is. Okay, I
put the gear back in the machine.
I just forgot about this. I literally just remembered this thing. There's a book called Batman 3D.
What?
I own this somewhere, which was a comic.
What?
That was done all in like 3D rendering.
By John Byrne.
Yeah, that was done all in 3D.
When was this released?
Oh, in like 92 or something or 93.
Yeah, second 3D wave. This is when I had a shit fit on my birthday because my dad didn't get me the Wendy's released 3D glasses for the Sabrina the Teenage Witch 3D episode.
Yeah, what is his name? John Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy did this all this is very, very cyberpunky, and I think—
Super cyberpunky.
And I think that I'm trying to see if there is, I want to see pages of it.
There's one on Wikipedia.
Just the cover,
or Google,
right?
Google something.
Are these valuable? Seems like they're rare. I'm curious.
Yeah, these are rare. If you can find it, they're like
I own
literally.
It.
Ooh, you should do a scan of that.
I'm like, this is not it. Where is it?
Oh, here it is. There's a
no.
At least
it's not 3D. It's 3D rendered.
Okay.
It's like that cover is like what the whole comic is like.
Batman 3D.
Yeah, it's like weirdly hard to find. I mean, you could
I've never even heard of this. Yeah, it's by John Byrne. It's on Amazon.com Books. $20 for a copy.
Okay, so not
they
not
only have a user generated image.
Yeah, I see that.
Is this the book?
That's the
with
book.
3D effects by Ray Zone and free 3D glasses, which would have saved me in the 90s for Sabrina.
Maybe it does have 3D pages. I don't really know. I want to see. I'm just perplexed.
Each individual comic is $15, or you can get the paperback version for $20.
Paperback?
I don't know. Anthology, whatever it is.
Paperback? I mean, maybe there's some stuff that isn't rendered, but I'm almost certain that there's a whole story in there that is like done. Let me just look.
Cyberpunk style, but with Batman.
Well, yeah. And
which is perfect because Batman's all noir-y. Sorry. I just interrupted you, but that's true.
Fine. It's fine. I'm just trying to like see inside this book.
That's why the Batman animated series is so good, because it was all like, oh God, I love Art Deco, period. It's the best. I love Art Deco. It's second only to Brutalist, because I just think they're both great. And to build an entire series for Batman in the 90s based on Art Deco, and that was a trend, also ties into like the 40s noir roots of Batman. And it just made it so easy to tell those stories. And nowadays, what do we have? Ben Affleck making Margot Robbie run around the city?
Oh, really? Margot Robbie?
As Harley Quinn?
Oh, right.
Terrible.
I don't think Ben Affleck had anything to do with that, did he?
He's Batfleck.
He's out now, I think.
Well,
he's done.
Gone
I heard somebody said, I saw some article, it was like some Batman like storyboard artist says that the Ben Affleck Batman movie, standalone Batman movie, is the best Batman story that's ever been told on film.
Well, this podcast is over. It was really nice to see you this week.
I don't know. You know what? Give the guy a shot.
I'm going to lose my mind.
Hey, he won an Oscar for Good Will Hunting, okay? He wrote that and won an Oscar.
Forrest Gump has Oscars. It doesn't make it good.
I've never seen it.
Sucks. It's garbage.
I've avoided seeing it because I don't
trash.
Like, I don't
Forrest
like over,
Gump sucks.
I don't like overhyped bullshit.
Absolute trash.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's
we
end on
wrap
a good
up.
Note.
Yeah, let's do it. That,
you guys know what Cyberpunk is? You're prepped for the game
well,
to come out?
Yeah. I mean, there's more. There's a lot more there, but this is. I mean,
but what
I
else like, are you going to add?
I like talking about it. I mean,
Snow
I don't know.
Snow Crash?
I
mean, yeah. We're going to talk about Snow Crash for two
well,
hours.
Well, Snow Crash is definitely in there.
Yeah. RoboCop.
RoboCop is kind of in there.
Totally in there.
Yeah.
Philip K. Dick is pre-cyberpunk.
Pre-cyberpunk, but his stuff really does, some of it hits on it.
Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd is fairly cyberpunk.
Kylie Minogue from 2007 to 2009, all cyberpunk.
The movie, okay, ultra cyberpunk movie. It's called Hardware. It's fucking sick as shit.
I don't know anything about it.
It's about, it's so cyberpunk. It's set in a post-apocalyptic nightmare world where technology has, you know, taken over everything. And it's like this guy comes home to like visit his girlfriend. He's like a guy who like collects stuff out in like the desert. It's like where the war, like some horrible war happened, and all he does is like he's out there like picking up scraps and stuff and selling to some like scrapper. Everybody's got like radiation sickness. Everybody's like, you know, it's like
same.
It's super super fucking cyberpunk. And anyhow, he gives his girlfriend this robot, like robot parts that he like bought or like found.
Wally and Eve.
And then the robot reassembles itself and goes on a kill crazy rampage, and it's fucking amazing. And there's like, it was rated X when it was originally came out, because there's like some extended sex scenes in it. And also, who's the guy in it? He's like a well known actor, the main guy, who I'm blanking on right
what
now.
What year was this?
No, I want to say it's 1990.
It was 1990.
Wow,
and
nailed it.
The star of the film is Carl McCoy?
No, that's not a star.
Angry Bob is played by Iggy Pop.
Yes,
Dylan
Iggy Pop.
McDermott.
Dylan McDermott, who's like a...
Not to be confused with Dermot Mulroney. Both
no,
have great
but
butts.
Actually, like you
both
could,
have good butts.
Yeah, I don't know, but I will say this. Dylan McDermott in the first thing
know.
I've ever seen him in. And there's just very good. And there's also like, it's crazy. There's like Iggy Pop is in it as like a radio.
Yeah, Dylan McDermott.
A radio Dylan personality. McDermott. It uses this PIL song that I love called The Order of Death, which is...
great poster.
Oh yeah, no, this is iconic, iconic.
Great poster.
Cyberpunk shit, and it used the song "The Order of Death," which is such an interesting story about that, because John Lydon, who is Johnny Rotten, who's now a horrible person, but was not always a horrible person, had a band after the Sex Pistols called PIL, Public Image Limited, and he also starred in a movie with Harvey Keitel. Known as Cop Killer, but the movie also has two other names. One is Corrupt and the other is The Order of Death. And I think he wrote the song.
Oh, you've talked about The Order of Death.
Have I? And I think he wrote the song for the movie. Okay, and then finally, just one other thing is that Billy Idol put this performance of Cyberpunk. His album is kind of a joke. It's not really. It's like all his songs are literally, he has a song called Neuromancer, and he's like, I'm the Neuromancer and I'm trancing. Like,
but
that's
he's still
so
Billy
lyric.
Idol and it doesn't make the music
no,
bad.
No, like, he has like weird like blonde dreads in the performance on
Jay
Leno.
Yeah.
But like.
Very Wachowski.
Yeah, but most importantly.
Very Wachowski sisters.
I believe, and we have to find the clip that he goes. When he finishes his performance, maybe it's a second performance or something.
Oh yeah,
On Leno, he's like, "That's the cyber, and I'm the punk," because he's doing these like live video toaster things. It literally sounds just like that.
Yeah.
Unless I invented that, maybe he never said it. But anyhow, Billy Idol had a moment where he was just very into the world of Neuromancer and cyberpunk. He also does a cover of the song "Heroin" by the Velvet Underground. Is that Velvet Underground or Lou Reed's song? Velvet Underground.
Heroin is Velvet Underground.
I want to say it's Velvet Underground. At any rate, he does a cover of it that's kind of a techno, an up-tempo techno cover, but kind of good. It's kind of good. Hold on a second.
Yes, it is.
Wait. Hold on.
It is.
While we're sitting here, okay? I'm just going to get it. I'm just going to pump this up on the system. Don't I have Spotify installed on this computer? Wow, I really...
You know what I found out?
What?
I get Tidal free through Sprint. You know what I'm still not using?
Oh my God, Tidal?
Tidal.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I also get free Amazon Prime and Hulu.
Billy Idol.
Because we live in a cyberpunk nightmare.
Billy, maybe you'll play us out with this. Billy Idol.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk. It's got, I mean, this is so, like, look at this. Look at that art. It's like so.
Oh my God.
Cyberpunk. Hold on, where is it?
It's very, like, vaporwave Tumblr.
It's very vaporwave. It's very Tumblr. This shit's all very hot right now. Hold on. We got this coming out.
Well, I wish I was born a thousand years ago. And I wish that I sailed the darkened sea. Great big clipper ship, going from this land into that. In a sailor suit and cap, away from the big city. Away from the big city, where a man.
Produced this on his Mac at home, at like his home studio. It was like,
really?
Yeah. So the one thing I think was interesting about this is that in 93, also this came with the fold out, came with a CD and a floppy disk with content, like Macromedia Director content.
That.
It had like interactive. Like,
I love
like
that.
They really went for it. They really went for it. Anyhow.
The best thing that ever happened to me was when Nintendo did Nintendo did like some integration with the serial where they gave out thumb drives or something. It was like a demo disc or something.
Yeah.
And I made my mom buy the serial so I could like play a demo, even though I already owned the game, because I was like so excited that like we lived in the age where when you buy serial, you get
great.
A game.
I'm into it. I love thumb drives.
It's like rock hard for a demo disc.
Thumb drives are just such a great like. Just like jack it in there, just fucking mm-hmm. jack in and boom.
Yeah,
no,
USB 3.0.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you know how many fucking, you know how many Linux distros I have that boot off of thumb drives, like scattered around my house? Like,
oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to fucking jack into this, you
boom,
know,
Ubuntu, operating system.
Ubuntu 8, like Leisure Suit Larry or whatever it's called. It's like Loony Lizard or like all their names are like,
y'all want to like, play Miss?
Like Chunky Monkey or whatever. Anyhow.
Anyway,
all right, we should wrap up.
We got to end on a good note.
Yeah.
Something you liked from this week.
Oh, something I liked from the internet?
Anything.
Bad week for me to like things from the internet. Or anything.
Zoop, zoop, zoop.
Let me think.
It could be from real life.
No, I'm thinking about what's been going on.
All right,
on
I'm
going
to go. I logged into Mastodon and started doing cross-posting my tweets because it's going to fail. It's a big piece of garbage that isn't going to work. But it actually, and I mean that from like their product standpoint, you need to market things from make them work. But the actual product of Mastodon is as good as Twitter. And if you cross post your tweets or Instagram there using moa.party, you can help build another outside of the corporate structure social network. So at least try doing it. I don't think it's going to be a thing, but let's do it. And follow me at Ryan Houlihan at mastodon.social. And I started using Tumblr again as an alternative to Twitter just for something to do while my mind is bored. And I have to say, I'm loving Tumblr, loving the images that aren't my friends on vacation like Instagram. They're just these curated, beautiful images from all of history, vaporwave. It's all great. And my porn Tumblr is thriving, but you'll never know what it
is.
Wow.
Wow. I want to know more about your porn Tumblr. That's right. So, you know, I'm trying to think, like, I've been very busy this week.
Yeah. kind of tied
hectic,
up.
It's been a hectic week. It's been a hard week.
Putting out fires.
You know, I haven't spent time doing much that could be described as enjoyable, I would say. We
just listened to some Velvet Underground.
I'm just listening to Billy Idol's Cyberpunk. No, last night I put on, my brother-in-law had never seen In the Realms of the Unreal. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. It's about an outsider artist named Henry Darger who created a elaborate world of the Vivian girls. Have you ever seen this?
Mm-mm.
You should watch it. It's narrated by Dakota Fanning when she was like 9.
Weird.
It's super weird. It's a documentary about this guy who was this, he was like a janitor at a school, a girls' school or a Catholic school or something.
Oh, no.
I think there's no funny business, actually, no bad stuff. But he created this really crazy world of these girls, the Vivian girls, who had like, who had penises, but they were girls, and they are like fighting these crazy. And he wrote like this like 50,000 word novel about them and painted these massive murals. And it's like really beautiful, crazy art. And like basically nobody, it's really beautiful. And basically like nobody knew about it. Like when he died, they like went into his like one room apartment and it was just like filled floor to ceiling with this insane art. And it's all about like outsider art and being.
That actually makes me really think of, and we'll end, maybe we'll end on this, but I have a question for you that, yes, I've been pondering and talking about whenever, wow, I spend more than an hour with someone, which is to say, do you think that in the age of social media, Tumblr, whatever, there are undiscovered artists, uncelebrated artists as existed before Warhol, like Van Gogh, who will not see any success today with their Kindle single or their Instagram full of their original art. Do you think that those undiscovered works exist more or less? Because I think they exist more, and I keep being told that they exist less.
I think there is a larger opportunity for discovery than there has ever been. So I think that there are more.
But don't you think crowds are worse?
But there are more people, and more people doing it,
and more mono opinions.
And the line between that's true. But the line between what is art and what is curation and what is performance or whatever has also blurred a lot. You know.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we did an article at The Verge.
Is Fuck Jerry a comedian? No, nobody can say he's not.
Speaking of cyberpunk, actually, I mean, ugh, I can't even believe I didn't talk about this. We did a story at The Verge, written by Molly Osberg, great, great buddy, great writer, called Dark Arts, about, it was the deck of this story is Meet the Architects of Tumblr's Cyberpunk Renaissance. And it was these curators on, these people on, and I still follow a lot of these people on, Tumblr is extremely fucking cyberpunk.
Oh.
And there's a whole...
It's crazy that Vaporwave is the most mainstream thing on Tumblr, and nobody in the real world knows what that
is. There's a whole group of people that are just posting these like insanely cyberpunk things. And, you know, it's just like we talked about these curators that are like, I mean, they're really amazing at their ability to just find
visually striking, meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think there's. Yeah, Otaku Gangsta. This is somebody who has, I mean, they're still going. Otaku Gangsta is like super cyberpunky, less cyberpunky now, you know? But like this shit, like that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing Ryan some Otaku Gangsta
stuff. You can Google it.
You can also read this, article. Anyhow, I think, yes, to your point, there are going to be people who get lost in the sands of time, but that's always been the case. There just is so much more.
It's going to be me.
There's just so much more.
It's going to be me. People after the fact are going to say, his tweets, gold.
They're like, why didn't we
should have celebrated this man's
why
tweets?
Why didn't we appreciate him when he was alive?
Why didn't we think his takes on Bethany Frankel were so sharp?
Are they?
No.
Okay. We should wrap up. Anyhow.
On this note.
So, yeah, I would say that's it. It's on YouTube, apparently. Like, you can't stream it anywhere, but I found it on YouTube, In the Realms of the Unreal. You should also read this article, Dark Arts, that I commissioned back in my old Verge days.
Do it.
So it was so – it's so proto. I have to say there's so much stuff on The Verge I see all the time. I'm like, this is so proto outline. I'm like, oh, we did this thing. It was like The Verge 50. It was like this kind of like list of like people we thought were interesting. And I'm like, oh, this is like kind of cards actually now that I see. Like the first version of it was like literally like mm-hmm. – like,
you were the Philip K. Dick of yourself.
I really
– your own cyberpunk.
Wow, that's very Philip K. Dick, that idea. You know, I mean, he has a book, The Valis Trilogy – where he writes himself as a character named Horse Lover Fat, which is Philip and Dick in German is
like, that's not my pseudonym.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyhow, this fucking guy's a fucking weirdo. All right, we're gonna wrap up, Ryan. This was a lot of fun. I can't wait to delve into more cyberpunk content as soon as humanly possible. Well, that is our show for this week. We'll be back next week with more tomorrow. And as always, I wish you and your family the very best. But unfortunately, I've just been told that your family has jacked into the Matrix on their Ono Sendai cyber deck and has hit some nasty black ice.